Lecha, you go out to war against your enemies, Lashon Rabbim, Unesonoi Hashem Lekecha B'yodecha, and Hashem will place him in your hand, V'shovisa Shivyoi, and you will take him captive. So the first time I ask a question, the pasuk starts out with Lashon Rabbim, Oyvecha, your enemies. He says, when you will go out to war against your enemies, that's Lashon Yachid. Enemies to enemy. What happened over here? So there are those that say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's only like one enemy. The many, no matter how many you have, it's only like one, is garnished. The Sefer Apiria, Rosh Lama Gansri, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, says a very nice pshat over here. On one of the earlier psukim in Dvarim Kapitel Zayin, the pasuk says as follows: Kisoymer b'levavacha, if you'll say in your heart, Rabim Hagoyim Ha'elam Imeni, these nations, they're overwhelming me. They're much more than me. Eichu uchaloi rishim, how will I be able to conquer over them? But that the Torah tells us, Leisira mehem, don't be afraid. Remember what Hashem did to Mitzrayim. That's the simple shot. When you see that the nations outnumber you and you'll wonder, how am I going to fight against them? Don't worry, Hashem will take care of you. But the Sefer Bina Le'itim says a very nice shot over there. If when you're going to go out to war, you'll say, oi, they're mamish, they're overwhelming these guys. There's no way in the world, b'derech hateva, I can conquer over them. I need a Yeshua l'mailam and hateva. So then, you'll understand that b'derech hateva, they're stronger than you, and they're more than you, they outnumber you. And you'll put your betachin only in Hashem, then l'yisirim ayim. Then you have a reason not to fear them. But if you're going to go out with a koichi v'yitzim yodi, you're going to go out, I'm going to conquer them with my might, with my strength, then you have something to worry about. So Taitz Yerushalayim Gansfield over here, the same thing. If you're going to go out as a yachid, and feel that you're overwhelmed and you're outnumbered, so then if you go with that attitude, I'm a yachid and they're a rabbin and they're outnumbering me and they're more powerful than me, and b'derech hateva, there's no way that I could fight against them, then but if you look at yourself that you're just as strong as them or stronger than them, and you don't look at them as a rabbin, so then you're not going to have chas v'shalom, you're not going to have that siyata d'shmaya. I've said over a number of times here, but it's kedai to say over because it fits in very well with what we're saying. Rav Shechtel Neuberger, the head of the yeshiva Ner Yisrael in Baltimore, he's a karev of ours. So he once told me the following anecdote. He was once collecting money on the West Coast for the yeshiva, for Ner Yisrael. And he came to a fellow that had Gansrein money. He came to him and he was speaking to him. And the fellow was about tshuva. And in his earlier years, he was a student at West Point, right over here, West Point Military Academy. She says, one of the courses that he took was famous decisive battles of the 20th century. It was a course given over a period of a year. By him, he was sure, he was a Jew, he wasn't from, but the Maisi had, you know, Jewish pride. He was sure that one of the first battles that would be discussed would be the Six-Day War. Decisive victory, it was unbelievable. So the first topic of discussion was World War II. Okay, World War II, we could hear. And then they discussed World War I. And then they went to this war, and then they went to that war, and no mention whatsoever of the Six-Day War. And he's seething inside, you know, Ikra Wars, a major military victory. He's not discussing it. And the more they get on into the year, and the professor's totally ignoring him, he is convinced that the professor's an anti-Semite, he's a son of Yisrael, and that's why he doesn't want to discuss it. He didn't want to say anything, he didn't want to hurt his mark, but he said, at the end of the year, I'm going to have what to say. Comes the end of the year, so their custom over there is that after they finish the period with the tests or whatever, they hand in their papers, they have a private session with the professor. And they get to discuss the course, what they liked, what they didn't like. So he goes in, and the professor gives him his mark. He thanks him, fine, good. He says, you have any comments on the course? So he says, yes. So he says, I have a major question. We went through an entire year of discussing major victories of the 20th century, and I was sure that number one on the list would be the Six-Day War. Not only didn't you discuss it first or second or tenth, you didn't discuss it at all. And I have to admit that, man, I mean, I know better. I know that you're a decent person, but I had, you know, I had the questions of maybe there's some anti-Semitic feelings there against Jews. So the professor looks at him in all earnestness. He tells him the following. He says, the purpose of this course is to learn about the tactics, military strategy, to be able to apply it to the other battles in case we're ever faced with a war. The Six-Day War, there is no practical application that we could gain from there. It was so heavenly. It was so above natural, you know, when he said, he didn't say Derech HaTeva. It was so above the regular war strategies that there's no practical gain that we can gain from that. And that is why I did not discuss it. This was a guy that said this about the Six-Day War. So that's what we're saying over here. He says, they outnumber me. They're greater than me. And there's no way I'm going to win. And I have to come on to Rachel Shemayim. Then only then will Hashem give the place them into your hands. But if you go with Derech HaTeva, then you're not going to have that siyata d'shmaya chas v'shalom. You will see in captivity a beautiful woman, you will desire her, you'll take her for yourself for a wife. Yecheskel Abramsky, when he was a rav in London, so he used to give a weekly shiur in Chumash, and the shiur catered to intellectuals, academicians, the people that were of high intellect. So when they came to Parshas Kiseitse, he learned this Rashi over here. The Torah over here spoke against the Yetzirah. If Hashem does not permit her for you, you'll marry your Be'isr. But if he does marry, etc., etc. Because Hashem sees that he can't keep the mitzvah, he's matter it. So they all jumped on Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. So he said, be matter chaser. A guy has a title for a pork sandwich or whatever. So be matter that. Be matter chilul Shabbos. Be matter anything if it's hard to keep Shabbos. So Yecheskel Abramsky looks at him and he says that such a question, you know, pass, it's apropos for people, simple people. But intellectuals like you, that she has such a question, if he doesn't pass such a question. He says, take a look. In the entire Torah, Tayag Mitzvahs, never once do you find a heter to be Ayuran in this. This is the only place B'chol HaTorah Kulu. So then obviously, there must be a special reason over here. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that when a fellow goes out to war, he's away from home. And war is a totally different matzah. And there the Yetzirah functions in different ways. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it's impossible, and there he had to give a special heter. But the very fact that you see that he only gave the heter over here, and nowhere in the Torah do you find it, that shows you that every other place is possible to keep the Torah, and nowhere is there any heter. Here is beyond the person's guidance. He's in a matzav of war, he's away from home, and there's many things going on during the war. It's a totally different situation. So here the Torah is made, it's impossible. But the fact that only over here is such a heter, and nowhere else do you have that heter, that shows you how stringent the Torah is, and how the Torah believes you can keep the mitzvahs under any circumstances. And we've seen that throughout the generations, under the most dire circumstances of poverty and tzaras, and pogroms and goliaths, we still stuck to the Torah. Somebody came to Yaakov Galinsky, obviously someone not from the Torah camp, and he tells him, how come the Torah is not up to date? The Torah has to, you know, make amends. It has to fit into today's society. So Yaakov saw already who he had to deal with. So he says, Hetzachainet. This you'll have to agree with me. You have a little kid that outgrew his shoes. So what do? You have a choice. You can buy him a pair of shoes. You could stretch the shoes. In our day, he said they used to cut out you know, the part of the shoe for the toes so they can grow weiter. We didn't have money to buy new shoes. You could stretch the shoes. You could buy new shoes. There's other answers. You could also make the kid walk through the shoes and he'll be in pain. Or else go barefoot. Those are the answers, different possibilities. How come nobody does another possibility? Cut the toes off. Could you cut the kid's toes off? Why not? Teretz is, because the toe is the ikker, the foot is the ikker, the shoe is only a means of serving the foot, right? That you have to be masking to me, right? No one's going to say that the shoe is the main thing and the toe is serving the shoe. The foot is the ikker, the toe, the shoe is serving that. She says, until now you're masking to me. We all agree on that, right? So here's the point of contention. He says, we didn't believe, from he didn't believe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu istakel b'oraisa hu bara alma. First he created the Torah, and from the Torah he created the world. By us, the Torah is the foundation for everything. It is the ikar. And the world was only meant to serve the Torah. So Mimela, we're not going to change the Torah to serve, you know, mankind and to change it lefi the matzav of the world. We have to amend ourselves lefi the matzav of the Torah. You believe that the ikar is the human being, and the ikar is the gashmias, and the Torah is only a means that the Torah should serve you, so you could change around the Torah, right? But by us, we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu istakel b'oraisa hu bara alma, the ikar is the Torah, and we have to change ourselves according to the laws of the Torah. This is what he answered him back. Afterwards comes the tragic story of the Ben Sayer Ramayr. Father and mother come, they bring the son to Bezdin, Einen Shemeya, B'Kol Lavo V'Kol Imai, V'Yisroi Shai, they will warn him, and they'll give him Malkus, V'Lo Yishma Aleihem, U'Rugamuhu Kol Anshe Iroi Ba'avonim V'Meis. And all the people of his city should stone him, and he will die. Why is he Chayiv Misa? What did he do wrong? He ate a lot, and he drank a lot. So why is that a Chayiv Misa? Zok Rashi, Ben Seiru Umayri Nehrag Al Seifei. Ben Sayer Umayr is killed because of what's going to be at the end. The Torah saw what's going to be the end result of this glutton, of this wayward son. What's going to be? He's going to have a taiva for a lot of meat and a lot of wine. He's going to take his father's money, and then at the end there's not going to be enough to support his habit. Sofish Shemalastim Sabriyos, he's going to end up killing. So the Torah says, Mutav Shiyom Zakai Val Yom Eschai. Better let him die. Still a zakai, and not wait till the worst comes. So the Re'em, Rav Elia Mizrahi, asks a famous question. L'chayra, this is in stira to what happened by Yishmael. By Yishmael, the Medrash says that when Yishmael was thirsty, he was dying of thirst, and HaKadosh Baruch wanted to save him, so the Malachi Ashara said, Rabbeinu Shalom, take a look at the future. His children, his descendants, are gonna cause the Yidden to die of thirst, b'shas l'churban. So now you're saving him? So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right now, is he a tzaddik or a rasha? Does he have sluyos now? He said, now he's a tzaddik. Finished. Basher hu sham. I have to judge him the way he is right now. I can't look at what's going to happen. So it's mamash in contradiction to what's happening over here with the Ben Sayer Umayr. We are judging him al-shem seifei. What's the pshat? So I saw brought down the Marsha. In Rosh Hashanah, Dafta Zainam and Beis says there's a big difference between over here and Yishmael. By Yishmael, the Malachi Ashoris wanted him to be killed. I'll show him what his descendants are going to do. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Basher Hu Sham. I have to look at him. His descendants is one thing, but he bets him as a tzaddik. There's no reason to believe he's going to change, right? So Basher Hu Sham, I have to judge him. But the Ben Sayer Umayr, he himself is going to end up causing churban. So by that we don't say by that we say we have to look at what the future is going to be with him. This is what the Marsha says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tav Zayin Amid Beis B'Kitzer. But it's also you do what the Svarim say. I believe Rav Elia Lapian says that this Mutav Shiyom Zakai Val Yom Eschai is a chesed that's especially said only by Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, that came from Yaakov Avinu, and they were Mekabel the Torah, and they are the Ama Nifra by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a special chesed Elyon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mutush Yom Zakev al Yom Rasha. Yishmael did not have the Milah being Yisrael. He was Taka ben Avram Avinu. Over Yisrael, he was not considered. And he certainly was not Makabal the Torah. Hashem, if he said, he is not Zoyche to that Chesed. The Pasuk goes on to say, Loisires Hamor Chicha Yishayrai, Neuflim Baderech, Vesalam Tamehem. Do not see the donkey of your brother or his ox falling on the way under his burden and hiding yourself from it. Hakim takim imay. You have to help him place the burden back onto the shore of the chamar. So Rashi says, Hakim takim imay. You have to help him. You have to work together with him. That's only if the owner himself is willing to place the burden back on. He is working and he needs your help, then you're mechuyev to help him. But if he sits back and he says, you have a mitzvah to help me, you do it and I'll just sit back, so then there's no mitzvah for you to do it. Hakein, takein, imay. You have to help put it up together with him. Says Dr. Chofetz Chaim, that from here is musr to people that daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'siyata d'shmaya and ruchnias. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you, then you have to place an extra effort on helping yourself, right? You daven to the Rabbi Yishlom, help me, give me siyata d'shmaya, give me menuchas ha-nefesh, I should be able to learn. Says, if you yourself make that effort, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see you are making the effort. I am a chuyif to help you. If on the other hand, you daven and you daven, but then you show the exact opposite, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a chuyif to help you. Chofetz Chaim says, Moshe l'madar adayman. A fellow has no money and he wants to start a business. So somebody tells him there's a gevir in town that's willing to help people. So he calls up the gevir. He says, hello, Rabbiyad, how are you? How's everything? Huh? Maybe I can come to your office. I can discuss a loan. Sure, come down, you know, this and this time. And this fellow, you know, he's scatterbrained. And a whole day, he doesn't do anything. And then comes time, around the time that he has to have this appointment, he thinks of this errand he has to do and that errand he has to do, and he ends up missing the appointment. He hops afterwards. Then the next day, he calls back again. He makes an appointment. He says, listen, I was waiting for you, but look, you got to be there on time. I'm closing my business at this and this hour. Please come at that hour. I'm going to wait for you. The next day, the same thing happens over again. And the third day, by the time the fourth day comes along and he calls, the guy says, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, if you're irresponsible, then how do you expect me to help you? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says over here. He could daven v'sengli b'enu b'ino l'hoven l'haskir l'shmayel l'mud l'amed with all mine tefilos v'siyat d'shmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to help. He's willing to pour down the bracha, the siyata d'shmaya upon you. But if you're not willing to help yourself, then you can't expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you. On the words Hakim Takim Imay, you should place the burden on the animal with him. The Sfasema says a very nice machshav. Sfasema says that when you're helping the person, you're not only helping the person, you help a fellow yid. You're not helping only him, you're helping yourself. You're having a tremendous aliyah. Lefi the madreg of the way you help other yidden, the way you care about them and you're sensitive to their needs and you're willing to go out of your way for them. That's how much your own aliyah is going to be. He says, that's the pshat. Hokein tokein. You yourself will stand up imay as much as you're together with your brother. The more you're willing to help out your brother, the more there'll be a hokein tokein. The more you yourself will stand up, the more you yourself will have an aliyah. And the Chazal say, more than what the rich person does for the poor person, more than what the rich person does for the poor person accomplishes for the rich person. A person shtais, a person goes up in madrega, lefi, what he's willing to help others, hawking, talking, you yourself will stand up. Imoi, the more you are imoi, together with your brother's tzaris, and sensitive to his needs. The Torah goes on to say, "Vayovei amayni umayavi b'kal Hashem." Al Hashelo kedmucha b'lechem u'b'mayim. He didn't go out to greet you with bread and water. Va'asher sochar alecha es bilum ben ba'or miftor aram na'arayim l'kal alecha. V'loyov Hashem alekech l'shmael bilum. Hashem did not want to listen to Bilam. Va'yafech Hashem alekech l'cha es haklolo livracha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he transformed the klala into a bracha. So the Sefer Avnei Eliyahu asks a question. Hagoyin Reb Eliyahu Frankel asks a question over here. The Torah is trying to tell us why we should despise Amon and Moav. Why? And he hired Bilam to give you a klala. So if the klala would have worked, then there's a makom to hate him and to despise him. So why does the Torah tell us over here, Hashem didn't want the klala to work and he's transformed it? If you're telling me to despise him, then don't tell me, Hashem made it, it's not that bad anyway. Like, what was the purpose of the Torah telling us over here? And the Chanami Hashem helped us. Good. But if you're trying to tell us that we should hate him, betachlis asinah, because he wanted to cause such korban, so why is the Torah telling us, yeah, Hashem made it, it shouldn't be bad. So I saw a teretz, b'shem Rav Ruderman, Zeh Tzadik Lebracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Nevi Yisrael in Baltimore. He said a Moedik thing by asking a little bit of a different question. So l'chayu nebuchadnetzah, Titus or Russia, they did things that were a lot worse than Amon and Moav. Amon and Moav were not nice, they didn't greet us, but they got Bilam to give us a klala. But Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, Mamish went into the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed it, they were Mecharef and Megadim against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they did was much worse, and yet, you don't find that we're Mokliv to hate them, or we're Mokliv to despise them, and that their children are not allowed to intermarry with Klal Yisrael. Why not? So Dr. Ruderman, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes a destruction of something in Klal Yisrael, the goyim are the shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the rasim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we believe that when the Nebuchadnezzar went, especially since the Navi warned Klal Yisrael in advance that the Churban is about to come, the Nebuchadnezzar was a shliach Hashem. Why was he punished? He was punished because of his own rishis. But as far as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, he was a shliach Hashem. Same with Titus. The time had come for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Titus was a shliach of Hashem. That he got punished was for his own personal rishis. So why don't we say the same thing about Bilam? Why don't we say the same thing about Amon and Moav? That's why the Torah is telling us over here, well, Hashem did not want that this klala should take place. Bilam went against the Ratzon HaBayre, and Amon and Moav, they were not shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They did it with rishis, and you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed the klala into a bracha. That's the biggest try that they were not his shliach. The middle of the whole thing was based on the Eganer rishis, so they get punished for the destruction that they wanted to bring against Klal Yisrael. That's why the Torah says it over here. By the others, when they come out to attack Klal Yisrael, they were shluchim of Hashem. Right? Demas is by Amalek, it says a similar thing. V'lo yare elikim. Why does it say v'lo yare elikim? He wasn't coming over here as a shliach of Hashem. He did not want to do the Ratzon HaBayre. He was coming on his own, pure hatred. Same thing over here. V'lo yare Hashem. Hashem did not want this. And Hashem switched it into a bracha. So here there's no limud zchus about Amon and Moav. They were not shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch. Rebellion Ne'ev Lach, Zeh Tzadik Lebracha, tells the Rosh Yeshiva, asks a very interesting question over here. L'yavi Amoni U'mayavi B'kal Hashem, why? Ala Shalokit Mucha B'lechem U'vamayim. They didn't come out and greet you with bread and water. And they hired Bilam to give you a klola and to destroy Klal Yisrael. The first thing pales in comparison to the second thing. He says, Marshal Ma'adavar Daima, a guy has a complaint against somebody else. He ran into a murderer on Shabbos. Sai, the guy didn't tell me it's Shabbos, and Sai, he wanted to kill me. not saying it's Shabbos, where does that come? Kineged, he tried to kill you and you got away from him. What's the pshat over here? Dr. Velia Mayer. It all stands for the first thing. Ala Shaloi Kinbucha Balechem Uvamayim. That's a sign of Hashchoses Hamidus. You have a nation that passes by, and you know that they're tired, you know that they're haggard, and they were Avodim in Mitzrayim, and you have a chance to help them. Bifrat, the Ramban says that they were children of Avraham Avinu, who helped your ancestor light. You had an opportunity to do that. And what did you do? You hid your face. You didn't come out to greet them. You thought only about yourself. You were selfish. You didn't care for Hakaras Atayi. He says, it starts out as a kleinigkeit, but someone that's selfish and someone that has hashchoses amidus, eventually it leads to ritzicha, eventually it leads to rationalize. Yeah, we want to kill them. when you think only about yourself, when you don't have the midah of hatava with others, when you're selfish be'etzem, and you don't have it in your genes to share with others, that eventually leads to rationalize, you can kill somebody else as well. Where do you find such a thing? You find such a thing by Cain. The name Cain, I think Rosh Hashanah Fuller says, comes from the word kinyan, acquisition. Everything is mine. This is what his life was all about. And that is why when it came to bringing a carbon, he initiated the bringing of the carbon, but he wasn't willing to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best. He says, the Iker is me, my acquisitions. Token appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's it. The Iker I'm keeping for myself. That's Hashchosis Amidus. It starts out as a little thing, ended up he killed his brother. He says, does Dr. Velia Meir over here? One thing leads to the other. If a person be'etzim is selfish and he has no feeling of sharing with others and to deal with others in a nice way, that hashkosis amidus eventually leads to more chumradikin things. It started out ashalikid mucha, and the end result was they wanted to hire someone to curse Klal Yisrael and to destroy them. The pasuk goes on and says, kisivne bayis chodosh. When you build a new house, you should build a fence around your roof. Do not place blood in your house, that somebody should fall off. That's the simple pshat. It has to be safe. You have to put a maka there. Everything should be safe. So the Bar Mayim Chaim asks a question. Why does it say kisivne bayis chadash? The din of maka is only on a new house? And what happens if you buy a house from someone? It should say, there's a chiyuv. Place a makan on your house. But why does the Torah say over here, kisivna bayis chadosh? It's mashmits only if you build a new house. So Bar Mayim Chaim says, there's a meridik remez of musar over here. There's different ways a person could build a house. A person could build a house with the intention solely of having all the conveniences and all of the amenities, and there's going to be big, beautiful, sprawling bedrooms, there's going to be five bathrooms, and the shower's going to be like this, and the carpeting will be like that, and Mamashi plans it that it should be physically the greatest house in the world. That's the way someone plans it. If he's a Megushim Dikker person, that's the way of the guy. A Yid plans his house differently. A Yid plans his house, I want my house to be a house which is Malay Mitzvahs. I want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mak. I want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mezuzah. I want my house to be a place of Achmasas Archim. I want my house to be a place of Torah and Tvila. Those are the Torah. Kisivna Bayis Chodosh. When you build a new house, it should be with the Hashkofeh. You make a Makeh, and that will lead to other things. You'll have Mezuzah and Torah and Tvila and Achmasas Archim. That should be the Mahalach. And then, if you do that, there'll be a Ruach HaKedusha that takes effect on the house, and then there's not going to be any mazikim there, not in Ruchnias, not in Gashmias. Then there's not going to be any mazikim in your house. There's going to be a Ruach HaKedusha there. There won't be a Ruach HaTumachal over there. It will not give anybody an opportunity to sink in Ruchnias in that house. Because that house was built with Chatchila on the foundations of Kedusha. And the truth of the matter is daima to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed the Bri, we just mentioned before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tachel by Raisa u'bara alma. The physical world is only a manifestation, a physical manifestation of the Torah. So for that, the Torah tells us over here, kisivna bayis chadosh, it has to be with the hashkofe, v'asisam akel gagecha, you also have a mezuzah, and so on. And once in a nice chassidish of art, a guy comes into a Yiddish house. He sees pictures of Gedolim hanging on the wall. He tells Yerushalayim on their faces. He sees Svarim. He sees Sidurim. He sees a mezuzah on the door. What's this? What's this? This is a religious item. And these are holy books. And these are holy people. He says, this is not a house. This is a sanctuary. So that's the Taishki Beisi. Beis Tfili Yikari L'chol Anim. My house is called a shul by the Goyim. If your house is Moli Mitzvahs, if your house is Moli Kiddusha, Goyim call this, to them this is a shul. But to us, this is the way Yiddish Yishtuv has to be. I just want to finish off with a very interesting thing that I saw. Remendel Zach, Seichet Tzadik Lebrache, Chavetz Chaim's Eidim, he has in his Ksavim written down that a Shver used to say to Seder, that a fool, a shaita, turns gold into dust. And a chacham is able to take dust and turned it into gold. So he wrote down a Maisa Shoya that happened with him. He was once riding with the Shver to a certain destination. Shver gets off the wagon, and as he's getting off, for Mendel Zaks, he pays the Balagol, Yiddish Balagol, he pays him, and he quickly hurries off. Chofetz Chaim looks at him, like he didn't like what just happened. Mendel Zaks thought, maybe he thinks I didn't pay him enough. I paid him, I gave him a very hefty tip, and I gave him, quite a nice payment. Like, what's... Chaim says, that's not what I mean. He says, make a cheshbon on nefesh. What did you just do? You paid him on time. You were mekayim b'yom etit and scharay. The fellow's an oni. You were mekayim b'chayach ichon imach v'exak debay. And the Chofetz Chaim listed off a whole list of mitzvahs that he was just mekayim. So you just give it kalach yad and just hurry you off. You're mamish. It's your molly treasures. What you just did is molly treasures. There has to be some sort of a machshava as to what you're doing. I was thinking, Marshal Mahd Overdayim, a guy comes from a fancy restaurant. He was at a restaurant, and he comes back and he tells over exactly, ooh, the first price was this. And then they served the soup, a delicious soup. We had a choice of this. And then the main course was this. And he gets into it. And here you have a hefty meal of mitzvahs, and you just give it as a kalach yad. She says, a person has to be cognizant. And every yid is like that. Every yid, throughout the day, we're mekayim hundreds, mitzvahs. Like, every second the person learns, he's mekayim how many mitzvahs. And davening, and doing chassadim with others. You're saying good morning to someone, you're mekayim mitzvahs. So a person has to be cognizant of that, which he does on a daily basis. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we're lacking in simcha because we don't really realize how much we're accomplishing during the day. If a person would be more aware of how many mitzvahs he keeps during the day, his whole simchas achayim would be different. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.